Well, good morning to all of our Point Lookout Community Church faithful who are joining us today, and good morning to anybody and everybody else who may have happened upon us here. We're glad that you're with us for this online message during a strange time in the world, shall we say. Special thanks to our PLCC regulars who've been sharing their thoughts and recommendations with us about our Sunday morning times together. We've discovered that some of you enjoy worshiping together, some of you appreciate a short sermon. Others of you appreciate a service that's an hour and a half, and some of you really like this abbreviated format. I want to tell you that I appreciate, and what I like is the opportunity to see all of you face to face, and I'm looking forward to doing that in the coming weeks here, Lord willing. We pray that that's the case at some point in May. We'll see how that goes, but for now, we persevere. Thanks again for joining us as we look at the scripture today. We'll be reading from Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. Matthew says this: "That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables." And one of those parables is found here in verse 44 of Matthew 13. And it says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Father in heaven, I pray that in your grace, you would give us understanding today. Lord, I pray that in your grace and in your mercy, we would know you more, Lord, and that we would respond to the truth that we hear today, and that we would experience life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Amen. So Matthew tells us here that Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you for me, there's just something about being out in nature. There's something about it that nourishes the soul, that decompresses me, that helps me see things and experience God in ways that I simply cannot when I'm away from nature. And if you can relate to that after being cooped up for the last 6 weeks, probably everybody's saying amen right now. There's something about engaging with God in nature, seeing him and coming to know him through nature. And that's why time and time again, when people were afraid, when people were worried or stressed out, Jesus taught people to consider nature, the created world, to go out into creation, God's creation, if you will, to consider things like lilies, to consider the ravens or the birds of the air, Jesus tells us. He spoke about seeds, he spoke about farming, he spoke about sparrows and all sorts of things in nature. And in this instance, Matthew tells us that Jesus proceeds himself out of the house and into nature, and he's sitting by the sea with people gathered on the beach. And the people are relaxed but attentive. They're probably like we are when we're on the beach. They're disarmed and decompressed, but they're listening to Jesus, and he begins to speak in parables, one of which we just read and we'll consider more in just a minute. But before we do, what is a parable and why did Jesus speak in parables? And most of you probably already know this. A parable is a short story or an instructive lesson that's used to illustrate a point or communicate a message, and it accomplishes this by comparison. The word parable literally means to place one thing beside another for the purpose of instruction and by way of comparison. In other words, if you can understand this thing, then you can understand that one. It illustrates the message that you're trying to communicate and does this by comparison. And Jesus tells a few parables in this chapter, and he talks about farming, he talks about sowing and reaping, he talks about bread. If you can understand bread, then you can understand this aspect of the kingdom by way of comparison. And in verse 44, he talks about the kingdom of heaven, and here's what he says the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Let's look at it a little bit closer for just a minute and consider these words in their original language. This word kingdom comes from the Greek word basileia. It means the royal power, the right or authority to rule. The root word of it is basis, or in English, our English word basis. It means stepping, walking, or footing. So Jesus is saying to the people, and he's saying to us, the basis or footing or the right or the authority of heaven looks like this. This right here is analogous to walking in and having the sure footing of and the right to or the basis for heaven. And as we hear this today, we need to see the big picture and we need to see the fine print. And here's the big picture. Here's what the kingdom is like. It's like treasure hidden in the field. And unfortunately, that usually concludes our understanding of the kingdom of heaven in this parable. It's the treasure in this parable. But we'll be missing the point if we stop there. If the big picture that Jesus wanted us to understand was that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure, then he would have stopped right there, but he didn't. He continued. He said, it's like treasure which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's the big picture. It's not that the kingdom of heaven is treasure only. It is. It is instead that the right and the authority and the footing and the basis of God's kingdom is such, and the one who finds it and assesses the true value of it, the one who's seeking and accurately sees it for the treasure that it absolutely is so overtaken with joy at the possibility that he could acquire it or walk in that kingdom and be in receipt of that treasure, that with joy he sells all that he has and buys that field. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. No, the big picture here isn't simply that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. The big picture is this. Kingdom right and kingdom authority become your footing and they belong to you when with joy you sell everything else just so that you can walk in it. That blows my mind. And if I allow those words to get past my head and sink into my heart, it pierces my heart to consider this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. I want to walk in that kind of commitment and that kind of sure footing with respect to the kingdom of heaven. So that's the big picture. Let's talk about the fine print for just a minute. Jesus says this footing, this basis is like a treasure from the Greek word thesauros. It means, actually we looked at this last month. Hopefully some of you remember, we looked at this treasure in earthen vessels, this thesauros. It means the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. But this isn't just any treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure. The word hidden means something concealed, something that has escaped notice. And it's amazing to think this, but it's absolutely true, and it happens all the time. The treasure that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven, has escaped the notice of most people. The treasure that is the kingdom of heaven far too often escapes my notice. And that's why this word pierces my heart this morning. In those times when I start to think about myself or my problems and my challenges, me, my, mine, I'm missing out on the treasure of heaven because it's escaping my notice. Has that ever happened to you? Lord, help us to see today. The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure that a man found, Jesus said. The word found from the Greek word hurisko means to come upon, to hit upon after searching, or to find by inquiry, thought, examination, practice, and experience. In other words, as Jesus said in another place, seek and you shall find. The kingdom of heaven is found by seekers, those who by searching, inquiring, examining, practicing, and experiencing find it. God is a rewarder of those who seek him, Hebrews 11:6 tells us. But in our big picture that Jesus described, this is what the kingdom is like a man who found the hidden treasure and then hid it again. What? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Scripture says these things are spiritually appraised or spiritually understood. The fact that the seeker, who actually became the finder, hid it again, doesn't mean that he wants it to remain buried. It simply means that he doesn't want to miss the opportunity of being in possession of it. He doesn't want to miss his chance. Call it fear of missing out. That's what we would say it is today. Call it what you want. I call it making the most of the opportunity. And that's what Paul advises the Ephesians to do, to make the most of every opportunity. The seeker says, I'm going to hang on to this. It's worth being sure. I don't ever allow this treasure to escape my notice again. I don't want this to get away from me. I've got to hurry. I've got to sell everything else right now. And here's what kingdom right and kingdom authority and kingdom footing are like. It's our joy to lay everything else down in pursuit of Jesus Christ. He goes and he sells all. I don't know about you, but I keep hanging on to things. And possibly now more than ever, in the middle of crisis or the middle of uncertainty, it's so much easier to cling to things. Remember, President Obama had made a statement, and much was made about it, about people who cling to things, cling to guns and clinging to religion. You know what? I've been the clinger. I've done that before. Tried to hold on to things that I thought would help me. Religion amongst those things. But here the seeker and the finder says, listen, I'm going to let everything else go, from religion to guns to politics to anything. I'm going to let it go just for the hope of being able to buy that field. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The one who lays it all down is the one who has the capital, the right, and the authority to possess the field. Is that you today? Have you found the treasure, or is it escaping your notice? Some of us have found the treasure but aren't willing to lay everything else down yet. Are you? Am I? I want to, and I don't want to do it with gritted teeth or out of a sense of obligation. Because here's what the kingdom is like. The kingdom of heaven is like one who sells it all with joy. That's what God did for you and me. For the joy set before him, Jesus gave it all up and laid it all down and endured a cross. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Paul said to the Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. Not a complaining giver, not an obligatory giver, not someone who gives grudgingly. It's not what he does. God loves a cheerful giver. What would you be willing to give up today? What would you be willing to put up for sale today in pursuit of God's kingdom? Would you sell your comfort? Would you forego selfishness? Would we let go of grudges or resentment for the sake of the kingdom? Would you forgive debts that are owed to you and which people have wronged you? Would you let that go and put it on the chopping block and put it all up for sale? Because this is what the kingdom is like. This is the one who's able to buy that field, the one who's joyfully laying everything else down. I pray that the treasure of Jesus Christ, the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, wouldn't escape our notice today. I pray that we would accurately value it above all the comforts and the habits and the luxuries and the selfishness that blinds us from seeing that eternal value. Famed preacher John Calvin took this parable as a warning and says, "We are greatly in need of such a warning, for we are so captivated by the allurements of the world that eternal life fades from our view, and in consequence of our carnality, the spiritual graces of God are far from being held by us in the estimation which they deserve." And so we need to be free from those allurements and that carnality so we can accurately see and accurately evaluate the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians in this way. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come." And I'm praying for you today, and I'm praying for me that our eyes would be opened to see that the value of the kingdom of heaven and the value of Jesus Christ wouldn't escape our notice for a moment longer. That we would know the treasure of Christ, because if we see him and we view the kingdom of heaven like it really is, then it will be our joy to lay down our very lives in pursuit of him and in pursuit of his kingdom. Would you consider that with me this morning? Would you take a few minutes right now, just between you and your Father in heaven, and confess out loud to him your willingness to lay down the things that keep you from him? Would you ask him to help you so that with joy you could sell all for the sake of the kingdom? Pray that you do today. And I'll leave you with that today. May God meet you as you respond to him now. And if you have any thoughts or comments or questions about this scripture reading today or anything that we've talked about, please leave it in the comments section and I'll absolutely respond to them each. I'm praying for you today. I'm trusting the Lord. Call out to him now. Take some time to respond to him in prayer. May God bless you as you do. And thanks for listening today.